All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you know, you and not all people do this, but you and I enjoy masturbating to completion using pornography.
You know, on occasion. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, just from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm not trying to put anything in your mouth. Just thinking about, you know, it seems like something you and I know about a little bit.
Well, you know, to a degree. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are a lot of different Pornhub tags and everything. And Pornhub has introduced a new feature that is Pornhub Roulette.
Okay.
It's high risk, high reward.
It's just a button that says, I'm feeling horny.
Yep, exactly. okay. And you just get something random. You get a random tag and all the videos associated with it. And then if that's your boner jam, you can bust a load.
Don't if say not, boner jam ever again.
I will not listen to that or obey that command.
Okay.
I was talking about or thinking about the 40-year-old virgin again, a movie I'm sure it doesn't hold up, but uh-huh. It does have that funny scene where he has the VHS tape with Boner Jams 94, a compilation of all the best boner scenes. It is a joke I still rather like.
It is a good one.
I wasn't thinking of like boner jelly. Like that's gross. You know, but like your jam that provide boner, I think that's good.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, we can just, I will let you.
You know what? It used to be boner jello and then mm-hmm. they got sued.
Right.
So, so anyway, let's hit are you feeling horny and okay. See what tag we get.
Yeah, I will let you do the honors.
All right, and clickety click. Fantasy.
Okay. All right. You know, a little bit of like cosplay stuff. I got you.
Amulets, a little mind control. Let's scroll down a little bit. Oh, hey, look at this. This is a long play.
What?
Of a video game. That's weird.
That happens sometimes.
I know. Once in a while, people use Pornhub for just like as YouTube. It's very strange.
Like, you don't want to sign up for a bunch of different accounts.
Mm-mm, no. Well, I think YouTube Red probably did a lot to make that confusing for people.
Such a terrible name for that service.
It's really a terrible name for that service.
Do any market research. I challenge you. Yeah. Okay. So it's a long play. What game is this? I don't recognize like the pixel arts kind of nice.
It's but. A Simon the Sorcerer 2.
Ugh.
The Lion, the Wizard, and the Wardrobe.
That's not a joke.
It's a play on the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, apparently. I'm not sure, though. It's a little dense for me. Yeah,
hopefully. I've got a new crime thriller coming out. It's a play on heat. It's called Hotness.
Hotness. Yep. The hotness. The police officer. The mechanic. The soldier and the secret agent. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And welcome to After Suffering, where we hope the next Jordan Peele movie is a social commentary on the difficulties faced by two white podcasters living in America, like maybe one of them has to fight a ghoulie.
You know, I think that our story needs to be told, is the thing.
If anything. Yeah. And how did this darken our doorstep, Cole?
This is Joe. This is Joe, who is our patron. Thank you very much, mm-hmm. Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Joe Martin. That is a person in Games Press. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
Who their first choice was too good of a game. I need to just rip off the Band-Aid and for one of my WAF picks next year, just do Realms of the Haunting.
Oh, sure.
Because that is a good game, and I think that it will very much like you're a person who enjoys an antiquated shooter kind of deal, but it is also that plus a horror adventure game. It's too good of a game. Also, embarrassing FMV cutscenes. It's very good.
We should 100% do that.
Yes. So they're backup because when people, request things or demand things, we always ask for a backup. Their backup was Simon the Sorcerer 2. They say a somewhat obscure British adventure game with a thoroughly unlikable horn dog of the main character, starring Chris Berry, the man with the world's most punchable voice. But he was famous from Red Dwarf. Did you guys ever get that in the U.S.? I do not want to alienate people. Every person I knew in person who was like crazy into Red Dwarf was very annoying about it.
Well, they enjoy the guy with the punchable voice.
Yeah.
We didn't get Red Dwarf here. But I also knew some Red Dwarf people. Mm-hmm. And my main exposure to Red Dwarf was, and I think I've talked about this before, at one of the used CD stores in my hometown, I found a double disc set that the first disc was movie score stuff and the second disc was TV themes.
Okay.
And it was awesome because it had a bunch of cool like British sci-fi TV themes that to me were just songs because I didn't know them. So I would like listen to them.
There was no association. Yeah.
It was the first time I heard the Doctor Who theme, which like I'm not a Doctor Who guy, but that theme song slaps. And Red Dwarf theme and stuff.
Yeah. Everybody I knew who liked Red Dwarf was they liked that, but they were like way more into the Mighty Boosh, which is no, thank you.
Not a Booshman.
Old Greg.
I had played this because they released these all on iOS, and it was early in my iOS career where I was just very excited for old point and click adventure games to appear on my phone. It's not actually a great form factor for it, but I didn't really realize that at the time. And all I knew was this was old. Right. This is from the era, that I like. But I didn't get very far in it because I don't like it very much because I do find it annoying and has an intolerable horn dog main character.
Yeah, like anytime you can talk to a lady, like it does the so this very, very much wants to be like the fantasy Monkey Island, but it does not have the wit or brevity of that. And anytime you talk to a lady, you gotta talk about their boobs. Which, you know, just to look at Monkey Island and say, what we need in this is like more like sex jokes. I love how chaste a lot of the humor in Monkey Island is.
Oh, it's extremely chaste. Yeah. Like it's one of the most sexless series of all time.
It's amazing. You know?
Yeah, it's great. That's a weird secret strength of LucasArts. It's got nothing to do with horny.
Yeah.
This has a lot to do with horny, and it's a British horny. Mm-hmm. A very British horny. It's a combination of two tropes, the kind of like cheeky Randy British horny, and then the Discworld-esque, like what if a fantasy world had a Starbucks?
Yeah.
You know, kind of humor. It feels like a mash of those two things.
Yeah. And I obviously prefer one of those over the other. The Discworld thing, that's fine. I'm not necessarily against it, but both of them together is a little much.
It's just a lot. Like it's not, this is not the worst point click adventure game I've ever played. Because that's, there's a lot of bad stuff in that, you know, that gets really bad. And I think that in terms of a bad, I was thinking about this with old adventure games. Do I prefer a bad, serious old adventure game or a bad, humorous old adventure game? And I think that I actually do prefer one that's trying to be funny, even though jokes don't land are one of the worst things.
Yeah.
Because bad, serious ones, like this already has a really boring intro. Like this very, so long. Very long it's intro so about a broom. Long. Yeah. If you sit down and try to play, like, this is probably not the best answer for this, but like Beneath a Steel Sky.
Right.
It is, the whole game is like that. It's so fucking boring. At the very least, this has colors and like voices and visual puns. And you can look at the background like, oh, they've got a modern coffee maker in the background of this fantasy world. Okay. There's a toaster. Cool. You know, there's at least something.
I definitely agree with you there. There are attempts, and at least it is not a complete dirge, right? you know, this, you know, front to back, like we're just gonna do this, huh?
Yeah.
No, don't care for it at all. A thing that is a bummer about this is that, like, it is a really attractive game. So this is like 1995, I think, the original came out. So this is really, really late DOS by the time they've started, you know, figuring stuff out. Like, it's not a, you know, a visual feast like, say, the Callahan's game is, you know, in terms of detail, but like, the pixel art is really good, and there's a ton of animation in this. Like, this, it is a pleasant game to look at. There is money and talent in this that is completely ruined by just like bad writing and too much writing.
Yeah. Yeah. And what if a teenage boy got wizard powers and decided to go to Pussy Academy? Or like, you know, like what's my first semester like at Clitoris U? You know, home of the fighting labias, like here they flop across the field.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't get in there because I didn't do enough community cervix.
Well, they got that hymen program that stops you from getting in unless you're a legacy.
No,
or you
no,
use legacy you, health to get birth control.
And no, the hymen trophy is what they give anybody who does well on their football team.
Yeah, the man, pussies. It's anything they can't do. But yeah, I think one of the things I was thinking about with this, and this happens all the time on the show, is I just came at the wrong age for this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I played through that Companions of Xantha game and like loved it as a kid. And it's also a fantasy world where there might be a Starbucks somewhere, but even grosser. And it's also like intolerably horny.
Yeah.
And if I had played this in 1995, I would have been maybe a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this would have hit for me pretty hard.
This is aimed square at a 15-year-old, I think.
Yes. The 15-year-old I was, who I just didn't happen to write. Like, there was no rhyme or reason to what software I ended up getting. Mm-hmm. You know, basically it was just like based on friends and stuff. I wasn't buying games.
Yeah.
So like, it's just a coincidence that Derek didn't burn me set of floppy disks that had this on it and turned me into this kind of right cheeky prick.
You know? Yeah. You know, I think that a lot of us were, you know, just a certain amount of like PBS tolerance away from becoming a Monty Python kid, you know.
Yeah,
kind of the same thing. It's ships passing in the night, right?
Even Monty Python, like, as a teenager, me and my friends, I feel like we knew that we were supposed to really like Monty Python. Mm-hmm. So we would watch the movies, and I think those movies have funny jokes in them. I'm not here to say
some of them are funnier than others. Life of Brian's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're funny. It's funny. There's funny jokes in the Great Holy Grail. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm not here to say, you know, to put the whole system on trial with that, but we didn't go deep into it and we didn't like it as much as maybe we thought we should.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like for our class.
Right.
You know, like the kind of people we are, this should be really up our alley. You know, I mean, it just wasn't, and we didn't have the vocabulary or like the self actualization to question the absurdity of that thought.
Yeah. You know? I mean, this is pretty much an echo of your relationship with Star Wars, right?
Yes. Very similar.
Yeah.
It's just like, it feels like something I made a bigger effort to try to like that, you know, that, and I also like Monty Python movies more than I like Star Wars movies.
Yes.
Now, you know, if I'm going to watch them, but like it's a very teenage thing, that I think you outgrow, I should like this.
Yeah.
Therefore I'm going to, and the reason I should is because I'm the type of person who does.
Yeah. Cause you're under a misapprehension that appreciation or, not appreciation, cause appreciation can come through effort, but that like liking something comes through effort.
Yeah.
You know, there's a starting point. Like something needs to like call appeal to you for it to be your thing. Right.
Yeah. And the idea that like self-categorization based on that kind of thing is a virtue.
Yeah.
You know, which is nonsense, I think, in my opinion. Yeah. But yeah, I narrowly dodged this cheeky bullet. I was just thinking about, because this is so horny, if this would cross the line of something I would have jerked off to. And I've been scrubbing through a long play of it, and they just talk about tits, but there's no there's nothing attractive that happens in this.
The closest you get is like in the opening, the credits where you've got the little comedy beats with the broom and stuff, you know, you've got Simon, like the, you know, your first, your kind of first blush with him, because most of the intro is concerned with this little kid who goes under the wing of the villain from the first game, you know?
Yeah.
And your first real brush with Simon is, you know, him sitting in this easy chair, watching, television, watching aerobics. And, you know, to their big, you know, bouncy tits on this tiny little screen, within your screen. Like, that is the closest that we get is, you know, boob bouncy.
And very small boob bouncy. Yes. Like, it's not like picking up one of the books from Myst and getting this little postage stamp FMV. It's smaller than that. And because everyone kind of has a huge head in this for their cartoony style, the creature that Simon the Sorcerer is jerking off to, looks like some kind of like horrible fuck Muppet. Like, it does not look like a, there's no anatomy on display.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. So it is more just a reminder to you as a preteen that yes, there are physics that apply to that particular tissue
not and like
that
configuration.
Yeah.
Yeah. The inciting incident of this and the villain's plot is, if I teleported an identical wardrobe to the middle of Simon's room, he would certainly get into it.
Yes.
And he's right. But that doesn't mean you have to hand it to him. I feel like that was a really big risk. Like, there was maybe a 1% chance that somebody would do something that stupid, and he just lucked out. It's like when people do a card trick, like a funny thing that magicians will do is they'll immediately, like when they do the setup, they'll just be like, is it the four of clubs? And just make a wild guess, because if they're right, it'd be incredible. You don't have to do anything, you know, it's just like that. Like, yeah, he's going to get in the wardrobe. Of course he is. He lucked out. He did. It created an adventure game.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, absolutely. It's worth it. You know, we do things with less odds all the time. Mm-hmm. He's basically playing the villain lottery.
Yeah. This is Powerball. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the inciting incident, though. But like, it takes us forever to get there because there's an awful lot of business. He's talking to this kid and he's like, oh, yes, I'm a villain because when I was a baby, my dad used to. And they're like, no, you don't need to say that. Like, just a man. Is this just a way too verbose game? I was like, sitting there watching the intro. I was sitting there, unaware of how to skip the credits or like, Will skipping the credits take me to take me beyond story that I would need to see for like context for the half hour that I'm playing? And as it just kept going, like, I got past the 10-minute mark and I was like, good God.
Yeah, it's very modern in that way. It didn't happen tons in 1995. These credits with him animating a broom slave with this is really weird. He uses magic to give it life and legs and arms. He gives it an eye and then it has to come up with its own nose, which I think is weird. Uh-huh. And then later he makes it give him a bath. That might actually be the horniest thing that happens in this. I didn't think about that, but like, you're going to give me a sponge bath.
And it's very, very intimate action. Yeah.
It's very intimate. It's like the kind of thing we do for our elderly relatives, or like, it's the kind of thing Jesus did to those feet. Legendary foot guy.
Yeah.
You know,
legendary. You say Jesus is a legendary foot guy?
He's the first foot guy. He loves to wash the feet of people, like, no matter regardless of, and especially if they're all dirty. He if he saw Peggy Hill's feet.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, no, after a long sesh. Yeah.
Absolute dude. Like, there's no way he wouldn't like, oh, it's, holy night. Like,
it's a little basic though. It's kind of on the nose to have your patron saint be Jesus. Like, Jesus can't be your patron saint. Come on.
It's very obvious. He is kind of like the Superman of Jesus's, but he's also, if he were a triple triad card, the feet side would be an A. The Christmas side would be an A. And then there'd probably be like a 9 and a 7.
Yeah.
You know, and those would be like lesser things.
Who's your favorite Transformer? Oh, Optimus Prime. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm not talking to the serious person. Also, is it
because
he
loves to lick RC's feet?
Yeah. how else is he going to get the Energon residue? I don't know why I went the Transformers, a property for which I have no history and for which I have no affection.
You knew about Energon though.
Yeah,
those cubes that they shit out of their chest to eat. The weirdest thing about the Transformers is that there are people who hang out too.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be like a little kid and they'll just be like, let's go. And then like a guy turns into a car and a kid just jumps in them and they drive around.
Yeah,
I find that very strange personally.
Is that like being possessed? Like having a driver, like, is that the equivalent of being possessed?
Like a dark rider?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it feels like. It's never happened to me. The best part of it would be if it felt like giving a piggyback ride.
Yeah.
When's the last time you gave a piggyback ride to like a kid?
I mean, probably maybe about like seven years ago with my niece, like at 10 years old, just like, hey, come on up. Yeah.
Kind of, I think it's pretty fun.
It's pretty fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's real fun, you know, to do the uncle hug, right? Where just like, yes, they run up to you and you just like, they jump and you catch them like, ah, and then you do like a little spin and then you
I'm
put them down.
Up bodily.
Yeah, yeah, and then you give him a slap on the shoulders and say, "It's good to see you."
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to see you, little man. Mm-hmm. What have you been up to? You
know? You're staying out of trouble, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like nephew things, just nephew things. Uh-huh. Yeah. All look right, me, boy, yeah. Keep your secrets.
Yeah. Piggyback is the best case scenario.
They should do speed dating for people who want to have an uncle relationship but don't have nephews.
You
like
know,
myself.
I don't want to do the big brother, big sister kind of thing, because I think that's just a little bit too much commitment. You know, like, oh, I don't want to like meet this person once a week, but like if I could do like a once a quarter, like a big uncle, you know, like, yeah, oh, just here you go. Just like, you know, for light touch mentorship cases, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just when I opted in, you know, like let's go. They match me with a series of nephews. Like we get 5 minutes and I get to find out what their like nephew qualities are. And they get to figure out what kind of uncle I'd be.
Right,
and in the end, we'd write down which nephews or uncles we wanted to like, you know, hang out with.
Yeah. You rank them. Yeah.
Yeah. You rank them and then you speed uncle, you know?
Yeah. You speed uncle.
Yeah.
Like, go like, speed uncle.
Yeah. Avuncular swiftness. Mm. You know? Yeah.
I don't think any uncle has ever moved fast.
No, I guess that's true. That would be part of one of the things you're judging them on as a nephew. Cause like I can talk all day about what an uncle looks for in a nephew. Mm-hmm. I got no idea what a nephew looks like for an uncle in an uncle anymore.
Yeah.
I'm 2 inches out. You know,
I remember what I appreciated about the uncles that I got along with, you know, but yeah, it's cool. It's tough.
Describe your perfect uncle.
You know, kind of into games, you know, but okay. both of my like cool uncles were, you know, into games. So there was that, that commonality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Funny as well. This is weird because I'm also like describing what I would want in like a lady, like, oh yeah, sure, you know, like tolerant of games and funny. Yeah. Uncle girlfriend. Basically Venn diagram, perfect uncle, perfect girlfriend
is a fucking circle.
It's a circle. Yeah.
That there's a profile. Yeah,
generous.
That is the kind of profile that would turn somebody off, but would turn like is actually really true and real. Like, I mean, somebody like, man, I want to be somebody's uncle. I'm like, yeah, you do.
Uh-huh.
I don't give a shit. Like, yeah, you do. You can be an uncle with benefits, but you want to be an uncle.
It's don't say uncle with benefits.
Well, in this scenario, okay, it's on a dating profile with somebody who has uncle qualities. It's not your actual uncle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not Charlie. So,
it's one of those things. It's the, you know, spew, you know, if you feel like you're going to spew, you know, chances are she'll run, but if she stays, it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Make your joke. You know, if you think that's funny, find somebody who also thinks it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you don't want to pretend to be someone you're not.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah.
How about you?
Ideal nephew.
No, ideal uncle. Cause I mean, either, well, whatever you want.
So, funny is obviously very important.
Yes.
But it can't just be funny. It has to be funny with like jokes your parents wouldn't make.
Yes.
You know, like kind of dirty, but not inappropriately dirty, mm-hmm. you know, but like a little dirty, a little bit more adult. I think the platonic ideal of an uncle is they treat you more like a person than your parents do, like more yes. like an adult,
mm-hmm.
you know? My best uncle, who turned out to be a bad uncle eventually, but my best uncle was like way into music and got me into music stuff. So like that sharing interest thing, obviously yeah, very cool, yeah. like a cool mentor, figure with that stuff, but a cool one who like hands off, you mm-hmm. know, like your parents want to get you into something. There's a pressure element and you can disappoint them and stuff. Yeah. You can't really disappoint an uncle. Like an uncle right. will be like, here, learn this instrument, get to it. I got yeah. my own kids and shit to do. They're not going to sit there and hover over you or like, you yeah. know, grade you on it.
They have an interest that they live in, and it is, you know, present by being present, as opposed to like being advanced with an intention or an yeah. agenda. You know,
it's a real unconditional love, like kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, so like funny and kind of, you know. But as of now, like as an adult person, mm-hmm. what I would want an uncle is just a friend.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah.
you fulfill uncle purposes for me. Will mm-hmm. is preferred, you know, my bandmates are like uncles to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just people who are my buddies.
Yes. And then, and that's the, I mean, at least with the uncles that I like, you know, yeah. that's kind of what we settled into. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, if I'm being honest, you know, you talk about the perfect circle between your ideal mate and your ideal uncle, like my ideal mate, you know, my fiance probably has some, we probably have some uncle qualities mm-hmm. to one another. You know, I'm always calling her sport, complimenting her hustle.
just like sneaking her sips of your beer.
Yeah. Just like you're old enough. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, you're old enough. The best thing about Liv, and like there are many wonderful things about Liv, but these are all jokes I could just make to Liv and she would just play ball.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is yeah. why she is so great.
yeah. No, just you know, I feel like we've made hay out of the very special role that uncle plays, right?
Yeah. What's the best? Yeah. It's yeah. the best, and it has qualities. Like mm-hmm. cousin doesn't really feel like it has qualities to me.
No.
You know, like cousin's very anonymous. It's maybe mm-hmm. the most anonymous relation.
Yes.
Like I can imagine an archetype of a brother, a sister, grandparents, parents, uncle, aunt, mm-hmm. cousin.
No, wild card.
Somebody you barely know. Like it's mm-hmm. just like somebody you see a couple times a year.
Could be literally any age in a relationship yeah. to you. You know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, thank you.
No, no.
And it's interesting that they come from uncles. Like the worst of them is spawned from the best of them.
Right.
I think there's some beautiful poetry in that.
Yeah.
You know, uncles is how you get cousins. It's a residue. It's like it's a byproduct of an uncle.
Yeah.
You know, when that uncle is. Puts that byproduct into an aunt, and then 9 months later, you get yourself a cousin.
Yeah, just, and it always makes it makes the uncle a little bit worse.
Yes. You know?
Here's the thing. My favorite uncles were mm-hmm. always the single ones.
Sure. Oh man. A bachelor uncle. Yeah. Dude, and I've not had this experience, but I had a girlfriend who had a gay uncle, and mm-hmm. he was fucking awesome.
Yeah,
like it was great. Like every mm-hmm. time we got to hang out with that dude, it was amazing.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, and I get to be the bachelor uncle for my for my niece. You know,
that's gonna be awesome. Yeah, well, yeah. That's gonna be phenomenal.
Yeah,
Well, the reason why the uncle gets less powerful when it has a kid is because it's lost some of its essence through that byproduct that it put in the aunt.
Right, like, right. So even though they're not directly a dad to you, they are a dad to somebody, and therefore the uncle territory is ceded.
Yeah, they've given up a little bit of their uncleness to create.
There's a bit of tarnish,
like how a clam creates a pearl.
Yes,
you know, like a bit of grit has ended up an aunt and has made a cousin pearl in her shell womb.
Pearl is more of an aunt name, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's true. A certain kind of, or a great aunt.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know Simon the Sorcerer 2 got really racist. I'm watching this long play and I've been scrubbing around.
Oh no. And what's it do?
At about a half hour, he's on a beach and he's talking to like a parody of like an African tribesman character who is doing a little racist jig right now on my screen. It's a rain dance. He caused a storm to strike Simon.
Woof. Oh, no. The Gary,
yeah.
The lips. Yeah. This is unacceptable is what it is.
No, it's not good. I didn't get this far, but it's rough stuff. No.
Whoa. No.
Yeah.
And this here is not a great scene. It's okay. Gary, we're on this and we're on the same long play. Go to an hour 32, 32:40 or so. That character shows up again.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh no, he's the Umbongo Beatmaster.
He's standing at the edge of the street next to the mariachis here or there.
Yeah.
He's got a whole bunch of like bongos. There are some skulls on sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amps.
Oh boy.
Simon is canceled. The
racialized humor of this horny little demon must go. It's not stood up. We didn't even talk about the mariachi band. Simon took a fun, this is like taking that Discworld idea and like, what if they're just all the races in the fantasy world? You know, and they were all just very extra. This is excruciating. Yeah. The last little bit of we're just about on time.
Yeah.
Last little bit of Simon the Sorcerer trivia that I love to throw out is that one of my favorite 7 out of 10s, Call of Cthulhu Dark Corners of the Earth, is based on the Simon the Sorcerer 3D engine.
That is wild.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is crazy.
That plays so weird. Like, it doesn't play like, you know, like any other of the engines they could have used for that. And it's because it's a heavily modded Simon the Sorcerer 3D.
Yeah. They had engines they could do. Then they used the Simon the Sorcerer 3D engine.
Fucking Source engine.
Like, yeah.
Would have been easy. Would have ran good. You know?
Another thing on this long play, since they added this feature, and by added I mean pulled this feature from Pornhub, the little heat map of like what is the most replayed section. Mm-hmm. You know, is the most replayed section by far, like a big spike here. I don't know if somebody linked to it from like a joke or whatever. Simon is below decks on a pirate ship and there's a pirate here, but he also has just a little Mr. T. Like there's just Mr. T there.
I don't like how characters have like gigantic mascot heads in this.
No.
The pirate that's hanging out with Mr. T seems like a scary, like Captain Crook figure to me. But
yeah, the options when talking to Mr. T: don't I know you from somewhere? Who are you calling a fool? Where's Murdoch then? It's just Mr. T.
It has been, nothing else has been replayed in this whole thing. It's the only spike and it's the only bit of vertical material.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we may have been the first people who have ever watched the beginning of this long play. This has 51,000 views of this Mr. T scene. I don't like that one bit.
Yeah. God, it's just infuriating to see how much good art is in this. Like, they could have made better games.
They definitely could have made better games. Yeah. Sad.
I need you to look at the grandma at the end, Gary.
Okay.
The grandma at the end.
Trying to get to the
four hours and 13 minutes.
Okay.
This appears to be the ultimate fate of Sordid the Wizard.
Oh.
I think he is put in a hell realm where he is locked into a high chair in front of what appears to be like an H.R. Giger designed grandma, a gigantic grandma head.
He's in a pool of spilled strawberry jam as she spoons goop from under his warped high chair into his face with spoons the size of his head. This is like when Bill and Ted go to hell a little bit. Yeah, this sucks. It's scary as hell. This game loves uncles and hates grandmas.
Oh, they're attached to this. They're in the stem is what it is. They're in a psychic realm.
God, why is this game going so far fucking afield? When I was reading the surprisingly long Wikipedia for this, and it was like, this plot had been sitting around for years or whatever. Like, this plot? Like, what are you talking about?
My God. Yeah. There's no game facts really on this.
No.
It's just, you know.
Well, thank you, Joe. We appreciate
you. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah. Very much. If you would like to suggest, it was suggested, demanded.
This was demanded. Yeah.
If you would like to demand a game, you can do so by going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah. Filling up for next year. It'll be a good time. Thank you very much. And even if you can't back at that tier, if you back at $5, you get 2 extra episodes of the show per month and a whole bunch of other stuff. We think it's a good deal.
Yeah,
absolutely. We designed it to be anyway.
Yeah, we try. You can also leave a ratings, reviews. You can tell your friends. And just check out the other shows on the network.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we will see you next time. What should they do until next time, Cole?
Well, I mean, just remember, a spoonful of cat litter a day keeps the doctor away.